Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Are consumers getting too used to inflation? Why the Fed doesn't want that to happen?
It's a dangerous mindset for the Fed to conclude that households think inflation is going to be persistently higher, because that can actually make it a self-fulfilling prophecy in their view.
And what caused U.S. oil prices to fall back below $100 a barrel? Plus, why some McDonald's are ditching $1 drinks. It's Tuesday, July 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. oil prices have closed below $100 a barrel for the first time since early May. West Texas Intermediate crude ended the day down 8.2% at $99.50 a barrel. Prices had been soaring above $120 less than a month ago due to fallout from Russia's war in Ukraine. Traders' attention is now turning to the possibility of an economic downturn, which could mean falling demand for fuel and, in turn, lower prices. Other economic data is also adding to investors' fears that the U.S. could be headed for a recession, including recent slowdowns in consumer spending and industrial orders. We'll have more on the economic outlook in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, the euro is nearing a 20-year low against the U.S. dollar, due in large part to those high energy prices. The bloc's currency fell as much as 1.5% against the dollar to trade at $1.026, its lowest level since late 2002, according to FactSet. European policymakers usually tend to welcome a weaker currency, which helps to boost the region's exports by lowering their cost in international markets. But a weak euro can drive up inflation because it increases import prices. The UK's Treasury Chief and Health Secretary have resigned from Prime Minister Boris Johnson's cabinet, saying they no longer had confidence in his leadership. Our UK correspondent Max Colchester says with these high-level departures, Johnson is now trying to prevent a mutiny within his own ruling Conservative Party.
Johnson has been repeatedly criticised over his conduct in office, in particular over a series of parties that were held in Downing Street during various COVID lockdowns. And more recently, poor electoral results in special elections that have seen once safe Conservative Party seats swing to opposition parties. And there is a growing feeling within his Conservative Party that Mr. Johnson is no longer the election-winning wizard that he once was, and that now is the time to get rid of him. However, Mr. Johnson, people close to him say, will fight on and is unlikely to relinquish his tenure of office easily.
Johnson survived a no-confidence vote held by his party last month, where 41% of his lawmakers voted to oust him. Authorities say a seventh person has died following a shooting during a 4th of July parade in a Chicago suburb yesterday. Police say a 21-year-old man who planned the attack for weeks fired more than 70 rounds from a rooftop. Authorities say the suspect, identified as Robert E. Cremo III, disguised himself in women's clothing when he carried out the attack. Charges are expected later today. For more on this developing story, head to our website, wsj.com. Gun violence also erupted elsewhere during the holiday weekend. Just hours after the Chicago area shooting, two police officers in Philadelphia were hit by gunfire. Both sustained graze wounds and were treated and released from a local hospital. Officials say it isn't clear where the gunshots came from or whether a shooter deliberately fired at the officers. The Omicron BA.5 subvariant is now driving the majority of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, BA.5 represented 54% of cases in the week that ended July 2nd. Experts say the subvariant is highly contagious and adept at evading immune protections from prior infections and vaccines. While the U.S. is in a prolonged case surge that began in spring, hospitalizations and deaths have been more muted than in previous surges, thanks in part to those built-up immune protections from vaccines and prior infections that have helped prevent more severe cases of the disease. And Scandinavian airline SAS has filed for bankruptcy protection in the U.S. a day after 1,000 of its pilots went on strike. The airline has been seeking a restructuring plan due to plunging revenue and a heavy debt load it took on during the pandemic. But it says the process was accelerated by the walkout. A rapid recovery in travel demand has put many European airlines under pressure, with some cutting thousands of flights from their schedules, often on short notice. Coming up, why the Fed is concerned that consumers are getting too comfortable with inflation. We'll discuss after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Consumers have been paying higher prices for so long, they may have gotten used to it. That's something the Federal Reserve wants to avoid as it raises rates to try and bring down inflation without landing the economy in a recession. It's a tricky balance, something Fed Chair Jerome Powell has acknowledged, including in testimony before Congress last month.
We're not trying to provoke, and don't think that we will need to provoke a recession, but we do think it's absolutely essential that we restore price stability, really for the benefit of the labor market as much as anything else.
So how could consumer expectations of persistent inflation in turn lead to higher prices? And what data is the Fed relying on to make its calls? Joining me now to explain is our chief economics correspondent, Nick Timiraos. Hi, Nick. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, we've been talking about the balancing act the Fed is engaged in right now. Can you tell us more about the central bank's latest thinking regarding the risk of high inflation versus the risk of recession? And has the assessment evolved in the past few weeks?
Yeah, the assessment certainly has evolved in the past few weeks and in the past few months. And the issue here really is that the Fed last year thought that inflation, while high, was going to go away on its own relatively quickly. The war in Ukraine changed that calculus, primarily by sending up energy and commodity prices. And so now what you're looking at is not just 1 year of inflation at 5% or higher, but a second year of inflation at 5% or higher. And that is a problem for the Federal Reserve because they do not want households and businesses to come to anticipate that inflation is going to continue to run at, you know, a 5% or higher rate year after year. That would unleash some very troubling dynamics for the Fed. And so that is why their assessment has changed.
So tell us more about the psychology behind this, that U.S. consumers may just come to accept higher prices for the time being. Why is that a dangerous mindset from the Fed's point of view?
It's a dangerous mindset for the Fed to conclude that households think inflation is going to be persistently higher, because that can actually make it a self-fulfilling prophecy in their view. That is, if you think with a high level of confidence that prices are going to be higher a year from now, you will shift your economic behavior. You will buy now, and that will actually send prices up now. And so if you're a landlord and you think that prices are going to be higher a year from now, you'll demand more rent now. If you're a worker and you think that prices are going to be higher a year from now, you'll demand higher pay now. And so that sort of psychology can actually lead to a more entrenched period of higher inflation. That is what the Fed is trying to stop right now. They don't want that cycle to take hold.
And what is the latest data showing us? Is it indicating that we're heading in that direction, that consumers are just getting more used to inflation and willing to accept it?
So economists have a number of measures to track inflation expectations. They're not perfect. You know, the profession's understanding of expectations is somewhat poor. We don't have a ton of experiences of much higher inflation, but the Fed looks at consumer surveys, they're looking at bond market instruments, they're looking at econometric models. Bond markets in particular do not suggest that higher inflation is going to be sustained. Consumer surveys also If you ask consumers what they think inflation is going to be a year from now, those are higher readings, but they tend to closely follow gas prices. So when gas prices are high, consumers think inflation is going to be a higher year from now. What the Fed really pays close attention to for consumers is where they think inflation is going to be 5 to 10 years from now. And those surveys do not show that consumers are anticipating much higher inflation. But, and this is important, there has been some research that shows that when a segment of consumers expect much higher inflation, that is, when you look at the full distribution of responses, you know, we're paying attention to the middle response, the midpoint or the median. But when the extremes widen out, so when you have a wider distribution, that in the past has presaged an increase in overall inflation expectations. And we're starting to see some of that right now. And so that's one reason why some economists and some central bankers are concerned.
So, Nick, how exactly does the Fed calculate which is worse between high inflation and a recession? Neither are good options. So how does the Fed calculate which poses a greater risk to the economy and make that call?
Right. Why would the Fed be raising rates at a pace that invites a greater risk of recession? Doesn't the Fed understand that recessions are painful? Millions of people lose their jobs. And yes, they get all that. But they're scarred by the experience of the 1970s. Because they believe that high inflation can actually be worse than a recession. That's because high inflation distorts economic behavior in unhelpful ways. And to actually fix it, as we saw in the early 1980s, you need an even bigger recession later. So that is why the Fed right now is taking steps by raising interest rates in large increments that do raise the risk of a recession. And it's because there are outcomes that the Fed regards as even worse than recession, which would be a cycle of persistently higher prices that could require even higher interest rates later, an even bigger recession later, which was what we saw in 1980, 81, and 82.
What's the likelihood that the Fed is able to get this right and we do see that soft landing that doesn't bring the economy into a recession? Is that still a possibility here?
You know, when I talk to economists, most of them believe that the odds of that, while they're not zero, they certainly have gone down. So some economists no longer think it's a reasonable base case. Some of them do. But it really depends on what happens over the next 6 months with these prices that aren't entirely in the control of the Fed. You know, the Fed's interest rate increases are designed to reduce inflation by bringing supply and demand into balance, but they can only address demand. They cannot create more oil. They cannot create more housing. And so if the supply side of the economy, if these shortages and these bottlenecks do not recover, what does that mean? It means the Fed is going to have to destroy even more demand. And that is more consistent with a downturn or a recession. If they get help, you know, if oil prices, which have gone down in the past few days, if they continue to go down, if supply chain bottlenecks improve, then not all hope will be lost here, but it is a narrower runway here to land that plane.
Wall Street Journal Chief Economics Correspondent Nick Timmerose. Nick, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And finally, while the Fed works to bring down inflation, at least one traditional respite from high prices will be harder to find this summer. Dollar drinks. For years, McDonald's customers could walk into any franchise and buy a refreshing cold beverage at any size for a buck. But costs for restaurants are going up. McDonald's told franchisees their costs for food and ingredients would rise by up to 12% this year. And now we report that some locations are dumping their dollar drinks promotion and instead focusing on value menu items. Wall Street Journal restaurants reporter Heather Haddon says the disappearance of the longtime beverage promotion is a sign of the times.
It's one of those economic indicators. You know, people know dollar drinks. It's something the company has advertised for a long time nationally and locally. I think it's something that customers like and have come to expect. And when something you've gotten used to suddenly gets more expensive, it hurts, even if it is a couple dimes difference. You know, we're not talking $2-3 from the reporting I understand so far. You know, it's like $1.19, $1.29, $1.59. But for customers, you know, when they're feeling strapped already, these things feel symbolic. It feels like something has changed in the economy and their world.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.